Now we shall worship the Lord in the understanding of God's word. And today we continue on with the series and the Gospel of Luke. And today's topic is on forgiveness. We have read a while ago the entire portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 40. And we're going to take time today to understand what it means. It sounds like a very simple passage, but it's packed with meaning. And today we want to understand from God's word itself what it means. I can't seem to bring it to the next. Do I put return? Okay. So first of all, let us look at Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Let's read this together. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Sounds like a very simple statement, but there is a lot of things that we want to understand. First of all, one of the Pharisees. Who is a Pharisee? Who was this Pharisee? His name was Simon. So don't confuse with the other portions of Scripture from John, from Mark, from Matthew, where there was a similar kind of incident, but there was Simon the leper. This is not Simon the leper. This is Simon the Pharisee. It's a different occasion, a different person, in a different place and a different time altogether. So, one of the Pharisees, Simon the Pharisee, self-righteous. As we know, the group of Pharisees in Jesus' time, they are waiting to nail down Jesus and say that he is not the Messiah. He is not God, whom Jesus claimed he is. So the Pharisees will try all ways to catch Jesus and to spread the suspicion to everybody and to prove to others that Jesus is not God. So this Pharisee, this Simon, self-righteous, he did not believe in Jesus as Messiah, as God. He's not a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he regards Jesus as a famous person, as an interesting person, famous person. And since Jesus was around and in town, this Pharisee desired the Lord Jesus that he would eat with this Pharisee. So, why did this Pharisee desire that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and have a meal with him in his house? Straight away, it's questionable motive. Big question mark. Maybe he was trying to find evidence to discredit Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ has become a very important person in that area. And so far as the eyes of the public is concerned, the Lord Jesus is an important guest, important person, famous person. So this Pharisee desired him, invited him, really wanted him to come to his house. As I said, it was huge, questionable motives. And this Pharisee would like the Lord Jesus Christ to eat with him. In the customs of those days in Jesus' time, eating together, it is an event. It is a communal meal event. And in this communal meal event, they would talk, they would converse, they would discuss. So this was a time that the Pharisee wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to go into the house, but he did not treat the Lord Jesus Christ well, as we would see afterwards. So what did the Lord Jesus do? This is a Pharisee, the self-righteous guy, this person called Simon with maybe questionable motive. Did the Lord Jesus Christ say, no, I'm not going to your house am not going to have a meal fellowship with you. No, I'm not going in. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, he went into the Pharisee's house. He went into the Pharisee's house. The Lord Jesus Christ obliged to this invitation. The Lord Jesus Christ would minister to all people, regardless of age, whether they are children, the young adults, the old folks, or whatever state, status in life or station in life they might be, whether the rich or the poor, and in this case, even the self-righteous. So the Lord Jesus Christ went in to the house of this Pharisee, and he sat down to meet. So when he sat down to meet, there'll be for some time. It is not like he's doing a takeaway food. Nope. He is seated down. It'll be for some time. There will be communion. There'll be conversation. There'll be food. And I would like you to understand that in the Bible here, when he mentioned that sat down to meet means to have food. Meat here is food. So they're going to just, the Lord Jesus Christ went in to this Pharisee's house to have a meal time together with him. Why did I put that picture over there? Because I would like all of us to understand the custom of the day. And what was the custom of the day? When you have invited a famous person to your house to have a meal, and you've invited your close friends who might be at the table, but nevertheless, the people in the village, the people in the town, they will all come by. The interested people will come around, but they will not go onto the table there and sit. They will come around. They will look from outside. Who is this person? They will come into the house and they will be at the periphery of the wall. And it's very normal. It's quite common. And when they're at the periphery and they're standing there, they would just like to listen to what was the conversation all about. In those days, they do not have Channel News Asia. Certainly not. And therefore, and of course, no radio. It's all by word of mouth. And when they heard that, wow, this famous person, Jesus, has come into the Pharisee's home, let us all go in. Yes, they may have their meal over there, but we will just be lurking around by the side and at the around the wall, and some may be outside, peeping in, looking and hearing and listening to the conversation. So it's a very good opportunity to hear something interesting. And after they have heard, they will spread the news around. Oh, do you know what? I've heard it. I do not know about you all, but when I was in Malaysia long time ago, and the moment we reach a village and we drive to the village, I tell you, all the people in the village will come by. And the children will be the first one, and then the aunties and the uncles. They do not know me. I do not know them. But they are all around, sort of listening to our conversation. It's like, that's very strange. But here is a situation, and that's why I put that picture there for you to understand, because subsequently, there is going to be some action. So, what happens next? They sat down to meet. Sat down to meet is sat down to have food. At that time, during the Lord Jesus Christ's time, when they eat, their table is rather low. It is not like our table nowadays, where you have a chair, you sat down, and it's quite high up. And they reclined in this way. You say, why recline in this way? I can't eat. I can't swallow. The food is just stuck there. Well, there is a purpose. It's a very pragmatic purpose. Because they don't want their feet to be anywhere near their food. Where is their feet? Boing! That's their feet. It's over there. Their feet is behind them because they have been walking and walking and dusty roads and sometimes muddy. And they don't want their dirty feet to become anywhere close to the food. And therefore they recline in that way And they would even put the hands on their head, and the other hand will take the food and they will eat. This is the custom. This is the way that they would eat in those days. So, here it comes. And the action begins. Luke chapter 7, verse 37. Let us read this together. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. What is this word? And behold. Behold means surprised, shocked. Huh? What is happening? Somebody stealthily, quietly sneaked in. How could this person have sneaked in? Remember, the people in the village, the people in the town would have come by to listen to the conversation. And this woman, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. I would like you to look at the past tense. She was a sinner. She is now a child of God. Her sins, they were forgiven. In another occasion, in another time, in another place, we do not know when. But this woman must have received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that had forgiven her of her sins in another occasion. She heard that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the house of this Pharisee, and so she sneaked in almost stealthily. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Oh, what does this mean? In those days, when they mentioned that a woman, a sinner, usually it means that the woman was a prostitute, a morally corrupt person. This woman, this sinner, this prostitute, she is infamous. Everybody knew her for the wrong reason. She is morally dirty, morally filthy, and her livelihood, she made money out of being a prostitute. She is unclean, and people paid for her service. But pause for a while to know that this woman was a sinner. Her sin had been forgiven. And she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ came into the place, came into the Pharisee's home, and she was so happy. She really, really wanted to come and give thanks to the Lord Jesus. So when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. So it could have been, as I mentioned, that she could have been secretly saved, and definitely her sins were forgiven. So this is a time she takes the opportunity to thank the Lord Jesus. And what did she bring along? She did not bring food. She did not bring adobo. She did not bring some other kind of presents. But she brought an alabaster box of ointment. Then we say, what is this? Alabaster box of ointment. Alabaster. It may look something like this. And this is from archaeology, which they have found. Alabaster box, alabaster jar, alabaster container. Alabaster is a marble-like stone. It is an exquisite stone. And this exquisite stone will be able to preserve, hold on to something very, very expensive. Example, perfume. Very expensive perfume. Some kind of essential oil. Much more expensive than whatever that we can think of nowadays. How expensive is expensive? If later on we will see the Lord Jesus Christ's story about the creditor and the debtor, we get a clue maybe of how expensive this perfume might be. It might be about 500 pence, or 500 denarii, or 500 days of wages, which basically mean that this ointment, this perfume, is maybe 1.5 years of this woman's wage. It's very expensive. Can you calculate in your mind now your 1.5 years salary plus bonus? I know that some of you may have more than the others. You just multiply. And you want to give that to a person. Why would you give that to a person? Because you are so indebted to that person. You want to say thank you. No lah, just get something ordinary. It's all right. It's just the thought that counts. But for this woman, it's not only the thought that counts. It is the content of what she's going to give the Lord Jesus Christ. This alabaster box of ointment, expensive perfume. And what do parents give to their daughters if their daughters in preparation to get married, will be an alabaster box of ointment. And the parents will give to the daughter very expensive perfume as part of their dowry. But this woman certainly was able to earn that amount of money, and she could actually buy that expensive alabaster box of ointment, and she's going to give it as a gift, a gratitude, expression of love, expression of thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus Christ, who had forgiven her so much, forgiven her of her sins. So, especially when the society in those times treated her as an outcast. So when the society treated her as an outcast and the Lord Jesus Christ already accepted her as a child of God, into the kingdom of God. Wow, what gratitude she has to show to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as I've mentioned, she has been forgiven of her sins by the Lord Jesus in the past, in another occasion, and she just wanted to come and honor the Lord Jesus. And this expression of love flowed from her salvation. This expression of love does not earn her points to be saved. She was already saved. And out of that salvation, it flowed out the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she wanted to express it in that means. And her sins against God, she would have recalled how immoral lifestyle she had and what occupation she had. And she had been forgiven and she's now a child of God. So if we were to see this woman who was a sinner, let's look at ourselves, you and I. You have a problem, you and I, we have trials, we have difficulties, we have challenges in our own lives, and it can be in so many, many forms. And you cannot solve that problem. You can't seem to solve that problem. And it was a big problem. Someone solved it for you. And you're so thankful to that someone. Even in an ordinary journey of life, you are already feeling so thankful to that person that you want to express your love and your thanksgiving to that person. And in your mind's eye now, you can think of ways, or probably you had done it before, to thank that person. Now, in this case, this is a million times bigger favor, bigger grace, bigger gift called forgiveness of sin. And she was a social outcast. Her conscience pricked her. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was presented to her. And she knew that she was sinful. And the end of the day for her would be death. The end of the day for her will be hell. She knew that because the gospel was given to her. Then she received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and as her Savior. Forgiveness. She had that new life. Now you can see that this woman coming into that Pharisee's house and shocked everybody over there because she has a heart of thanksgiving. So we'll look at what's next. Here we are. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Let us unpack this. And she stood at his feet. Why did she stand at Jesus' feet? Usually, a kind of ointment like this, you would anoint it at the head, not at the feet. You would normally anoint at the head. And there is no way she could reach the head of the Lord Jesus Christ because the way they were reclining in that form, and she would have to crawl to the table. And how? Like, in what way? No. So she stood at his feet and she was looking at the feet. It's like, I can't reach the head, but now I'm at the feet. So what did she do? She stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Why was she weeping? And she saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was standing there at Jesus' feet, behind the Lord Jesus Christ. She was overwhelmed. At that particular moment, she was overwhelmed with that salvation that she was given. Even though she was an outcast, she was a sinner. And the experience, recalled how she was saved as to become a child of God, saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And realizing the depths of her sin, and yet she was forgiven. And others in the room certainly treated her as an outcast because they already were, behold, shocked, surprised, shell-shocked. And this woman came in. And her tears rained down from her eyes. Now this word, weeping, it is not only a little bit of tears coming down. This word, weeping, has a sense of raining. The tears just kept flowing and flowing. It's a very touching, very emotional scene. And God gave all of us emotions. Is it all right to cry? Of course this woman cried. It's perfectly all right. And she cried with that sense of gratitude, sense of thanksgiving, sense of joy. And now she's able to reach the Lord Jesus Christ, but she was only managed to reach his feet behind him. And she was weeping. She was crying. And I'm sure everybody, all the eyes will be on her. What is this sinner? What is this prostitute trying to do? Weeping at Jesus' feet. So, let us look. Luke 7:38. Let's read this together. And stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. So, there we are. He saw when she was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was behind the Lord Jesus Christ. She was standing behind the Lord Jesus. She saw Jesus' feet. Ayo, so dirty. Got mud. This Pharisee, this Simon guy, did not even provide any water for the guests to wash. That shows how much he welcomed the Lord Jesus. As I mentioned earlier on, he had ulterior motive. A normal Pharisee would, a normal host, not to mention the Pharisee, and all the more the Pharisee, because he would know Judaism. He should have provided water for his guest to wash their feet. He did not provide water to the Lord Jesus Christ to wash his feet. They'd say that, why does it even matter? It's just hosting people. You mean you have to go through all those things? Yes. Why? Because in Judaism, hospitality, receiving and welcoming guests and doing all those, washing the feet, anointing the head with perfume and olive oil, make sure that the guest is comfortable, give a lot of hospitality, welcome to you, treat the guest well. In Judaism, this form of welcoming and hospitality given to guests is a mitzvah. They say, what's a mitzvah? It's a commandment. How important is the commandment? Very, very important to Judaism. It is very important. And yet this Pharisee did not even bother to do his mitzvah in treating the Lord Jesus Christ as an honored guest. Left his feet there dirty. And so when this woman saw the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, she was already weeping. I said, "Yo, my dear Lord Jesus, this Pharisee, when you came in, did not even get your feet washed, did not even wash your feet, did not provide water. Where's the water? There's no water around here." She has raining with tears. And so she began to wash his feet with her tears. That's how emotional she was. She was overwhelmed with this emotion that, Lord Jesus, you loved me so much. You have forgiven me of my sins. So much, so emotionally overwhelmed that she was weeping, raining with tears. So, look around. Is that cloth? This Pharisee, this Simon guy, did not even provide cloth to wipe the feet of his guest, and especially this important guest called the Lord Jesus Christ. No cloth given by the Pharisee. What does the woman have? Hair. And it wiped them with the hairs of her head. Now, this is interesting. A woman's hair is the woman's honor. And the woman will normally tie up the hair. How many of you tie up your hair now? Tie up your hair. So the woman in those days will tie up the hair. And if the woman were to be in public and untie the hair and the hair drop and let down, in Judaism, that is sufficient ground for a man to divorce a wife. If the wife dared to let the hair down, then the man will go in accordance with Judaism. All right, I want to divorce my wife. What wrong did she do? She let her hair down in public. Yes, agreed. That is immoral. Pass. Divorced. That was how serious it was for a woman to let down the hair. And when she let down her hair, she shocked the people. And what did she do? And the people said, there you are, look at this woman. She let down her hair. I told you, this one, prostitute, nah? Slut, immoral, put down her hair. And when she put down her hair, let her hair down, she wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. Hairs of her head, not somebody's hair. It's her own hair. She wiped it. That was, she couldn't care anymore. If you guys want to laugh at me, you want to ridicule me for whatever reason, because I let my hair down, I don't care anymore because I love my Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this house with a dirty feet and the host did not even provide anything for him to wash. I will just wash my Lord's feet with my tears and with my hair. And on top of that, what did she do? She kissed his feet. As a host in Judaism under mitzvah, which is a commandment, the host would normally welcome the guest by kissing on the cheek. But certainly in this woman, she could not reach the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now she's at the feet. She kissed his feet. And what did the Bible say about this word kissed? It's out of love, it's out of gratitude, it's very tender, and very importantly, it's kissed repeatedly without letting go. It is almost like the prodigal son who came back to the father, and the father from afar saw him, ran to the son and hugged the son and kissed the son with that emotion, with that thanksgiving to God. At last I saw my son, and for this woman, at last I saw my Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, this host couldn't even be bothered to clean your feet. I thank you, Lord. I kiss your feet. And she kissed it repeatedly, over and over and over again. And after she had done that, she said that, I have this alabaster box of perfume, which I've bought. Maybe it's 1.5 years of her salary. And she broke it, opened it, anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ with the ointment. The perfume. The Pharisees did not provide even a cheap olive oil for the Lord Jesus Christ. She's willing to spend. When you are so thankful to a person, you find that that gift that you buy, you're very willing. Have you experienced that in your life? All of us have experienced that. For this woman, she finds that this oil, this perfume in the alabaster box, maybe 1.5 years of my salary, I'm willing, take it out, pour on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. My gratitude, the love flowed from salvation. Remember the 10 lepers? All healed. Only one of them came back to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, where are the 9? They say, no need to thank Jesus. Nah. He's so rich. He knows. He knows my heart will do. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, where are the 9? I thought 10 were healed. Where are the 9? One came back. Wow, the Lord Jesus Christ bless that one who came back and say thank you. This woman came and say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us look continuation of this drama that is seen in the house of this Pharisee, the Simon. Luke 7:39. If any one of you are asleep now, you can start to read this together with me. That's a hint for you because I can see you. Luke 7:39, let's read together. Ready, go. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Let's unpack this again. This Pharisee, the self-righteous Pharisee, and when the Pharisee, which had bidden the Lord Jesus Christ and had meal with him, and saw that woman and doing all those things that she is doing, all this Pharisee would think that this is despicable. That prostitute in my house and now doing all that to Jesus, my important guest, and she is doing this in public view. She's shameful. Just horrible. I have no words to say this is a horrible woman. This Pharisee did not utter words. It's all in his mind. And he spake within himself. He was just, wow. There was this mental gymnastic going on in his brain. He spake within himself, saying, this man, oh, I thought Jesus Christ was an important person, your important guest. Now in your mind, in this Pharisee's mind, how did he address the Lord Jesus Christ? This man. no good salutation at all. He despised Jesus. He was suspicious that Jesus is not prophet, is not Messiah, is not a God. This man, but he dare not say it with his lips. It was in his mind. He speak within himself. This man, if, the word big if, huh? My suspicion is definitely there. This is not the Lord Jesus. He's just like any ordinary man. He's not a prophet, not definitely not the Messiah, definitely not God. Because if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. And what did the Pharisees say? Look at the tenses. For she is a sinner. But the Bible said she was a sinner. She had been forgiven. To this Pharisee, he did not know Christianity. He did not know the gospel. He refused to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's saying that this despised person, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known. To the eyes of the Pharisee, that woman is despicable. His guest, Jesus, is equally despicable because he claimed himself to be God, claimed himself to be the Messiah, and he did not even know who that woman was. Shame on him. All of us in the room would know. And let us look. 7:40 to 42. Let us all read together. Now all of you are quite awake. That's good. 7:40 to 42. Let's read. Ready, go. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? A very simple question. And in this very simple question, and here the scripture says, and Jesus answering said unto him. Did Simon even ask a question? He did not ask verbally. He was only thinking in his mind. The Lord Jesus Christ could read his mind. And Jesus answering unto him. And Jesus did not yell at him. Jesus did not rebuke him in a, you, Simon Pharisee, stand at the wall. No, he didn't do that. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And what did this Simon say in his words, with his lips? Master! Hey, I thought you were just now saying that. That man, if he were a prophet. And now when the Lord Jesus Christ asked him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And in front of all the people, Simon the Pharisee said, Master, say on, my master. Really? Okay. So now the Lord Jesus Christ is going to teach him a lesson. And the Lord Jesus Christ tell a story. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the best teacher. Very good lessons and teaching can be in the form of storytelling. So in verse 41, the Lord Jesus Christ said, there was a certain creditor, someone who loaned out money, who gave money, loaned out money. He had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, or equivalent to 500 denaries, or 500 days of wages, or equivalent to 1.5 years of salary. And the other, 50 pence, which is about 1.5 months of salary. So you think in your mind's eye that amount in your own salary calculation. And what happened? When they had nothing to pay, What is the situation when they had nothing to pay? These two debtors could not pay. They were destitute. They were totally helpless. They were bankrupt. They could not pay. I can't pay. And what did this creditor do? He frankly forgave them both. So this word forgave, frankly forgave them both, is a very interesting Greek word. So this frankly forgave has this idea of a business term in business transaction. And in this business transaction, that word forgave, frankly forgave, is charizomai. It's basically to say that by grace, you don't have to pay. Why? Because I absorb all your debt. Then who pay? The creditor say, I pay. I pay myself. That is the business term. And we can see that parallel in the theological term, which is called charis. Charis, where are you? Charis is a beautiful term. It means grace. It means unmerited grace and kindness. So now when you address charis, you know, grace, kindness. So charis them both, forgave them both, that they don't have to pay. And who paid it? As I said, the creditor paid it. The creditor absorbed that amount. The creditor paid it all. Sounds familiar? The Lord Jesus Christ paid it all. We are spiritually bankrupt. We can't pay the debt we owe. And what is the wages of sin? It's death. And we know that we cannot reconcile with God. And Jesus paid it himself, in himself, and crucified on the cross, and take all the punishment upon himself so that we don't have to pay. And Jesus paid it all. We just sang the song just now. Jesus paid it all. And this is a similar understanding. And it was a simple scenario. So Simon, which of them will love him most? And what did Simon say? Let's read together. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. So Simon the Pharisee, I suppose, he was very careful. A lot of people are listening in. This is a question. He must not get the wrong answer. He's very careful. He did not want to fall into any traps by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like anyone would have answered, looking around. And I suppose. And as I said, everyone was watching Simon. He better give an acceptable answer. And his answer was, whom he forgave most. So, and he said unto him, Thou hast answered, rightly judged. So, simple answer, it's a correct answer, but Pharisee could be quite happy he gave the correct answer. Who loved most? The one who was forgiven most. So, the Lord Jesus Christ then tell this Simon the Pharisee the lesson that Jesus wanted to give to this Pharisee. Let us read together from verses 44 to 46. Ready, go. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wow, this is a rebuke to Simon. Yet in a very gentle way. And not only to remind Simon the Pharisee that hospitality to a guest is considered a mitzvah in Judaism commandment in the Pharisees' own interpretation, but more importantly, that the Lord Jesus Christ knew this all along. And the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to teach him a lesson. So, let us see. What was the lesson? 47 to 48. Ready, go. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. So in this, we have to understand, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. So it was in the past. It was a past tense. Her sins were forgiven in the past, in another occasion. She's now a child of God. She is not that sinner whom the Pharisee might allude to. She was totally forgiven. And out of her salvation, she showed that gratitude, that the love. She loved much and from a forgiven heart. And certainly from the 1.5 years of that expensive perfume in that alabaster box. And this explanation was a rebuke to the Pharisee, because to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. The Pharisee, obviously, did he love little? He loved zero. He loved zero. That man, if he knew that, if he was a prophet, I don't believe that he is God. I don't believe that he is the Son of God. I don't believe that he is our Messiah. That man. So certainly, this Pharisee did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as God. But this woman knew. And that's why out of her salvation, it flowed out so much of her love, demonstrated so much of her love. And the Lord Jesus Christ in the end said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Why did the Lord Jesus do that? This is the reiteration, reassurance to this poor woman of her forgiveness by Jesus. And who does Jesus demonstrate himself to be? Verse 49. The people around the table were asking. Let's read. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is 100% man. He is 100% God. He is the Messiah. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he could forgive sin. He's God. And that's why he can forgive sins. And this is a gospel to the Pharisees and to all the people around at that meal, and really showing them that the testimony of this woman, that is the woman with the alabaster box of perfume, she became the central portion of that story which the Lord Jesus Christ is sharing with the people around there, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And what did the Lord Jesus said in the end? Let's read. And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. So here itself we can see that Ephesians 2:8-9. We recall this. Let us read. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thy faith hath saved thee. It's a reiteration of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, who is 100% man and 100% God. And he mentioned to this woman, go in peace. Peace with God and peace with the people. And we can also see, therefore by grace are ye saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We can't pay. We are spiritually bankrupt. We can't pay. Jesus paid it all. And this is given to us as a gift of God. A gift of God. Now, when someone gave you something and you pay 10 cents to that person, is it still a gift? It is not a gift. It's called a cheap sale. It's not a gift. A gift is zero. And in this case, why zero? Because you just could not pay. It's just like the story which the Lord Jesus Christ told. The debtor could not pay. And frankly, the businessman frankly forgave the Lord Jesus Christ, our God. Jesus paid it all. Not of works, not even her demonstration of a love, because her demonstration of the love flowed after she was saved. So lest any man should boast in heaven. So today, we want to understand. This is the concluding slide. So forgiven much, love much. We could see a parallel story of Mary, sister of Lazarus. And that was shown in Matthew 26, Mark 14, John 12. There was a similar description, different person and different occasion and a different place. And which Mary, the sister of Lazarus, also wiped Jesus' feet with a perfume, with expensive perfume and with her hair. The prodigal son, what did he say after he had spent all the money and wanted to come back? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. If only my father would forgive me, I would become a hired servant. I would do anything. Paul the Apostle, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Paul the Apostle went all the way, trailblazing all the way and spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ till he was executed. And John Newton, the writer, the author of the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, and towards the end of his life, he has got fading memory. Although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. And what a life John Newton turned 180 degrees, not 360. 180. And it's Amazing Grace. Wonderful. And we shall sing that song afterwards. So, in conclusion, two very important lessons. You're born again. You're forgiven believer. Love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. We cannot love someone we don't know. So, in order to love our Lord Jesus Christ, let us get to know him better and better every day. And so that we can love him with our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. How much do you know the Lord Jesus? How much do you realize that your sins are forgiven? And the degree of your realization that your sins are forgiven, that how much you owe the Lord Jesus Christ, measured by the love you have for the Lord Jesus, measured by the love you have for the cause of the Lord Jesus, for prayer, for worship, for serving him, for serving the people in need. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said that if you serve those people in need, especially in the household of faith, you are serving the Lord. So let us look into our own lives. How much do we love? How is your love for the Lord Jesus Christ? And ask and pray that God help me to love you more and more each day by studying his word, to get to know him better and to love him with our emotions, our heart, our goals, our aspirations, in our mind, in the understanding of God's word, in our soul, in our worshiping God in spirit and in truth, in our strength, in the way we serve the Lord. Even as ushers, even in the media ministry, even in prayer, even in visitation, even in sharing the gospel, even in giving up gospel tracts, even in being an answer, God's answer to someone's prayer through you. Could you be someone's answer to someone's prayer? Someone is praying. The Lord can use you to be a blessing to that person. For non-believers today, today is the day of salvation. You can be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ and admit that we are sinners and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior and commit ourselves unto the Lord Jesus. I know my time is far, far overspent, but let us now just look to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, we pray that thou wouldst help us to search our own hearts today, to realize that we have not loved thee as we ought. Lord, rebuke us, even as we have heard and understood from thy word, rebuke us. For much is forgiven, and we should love much. Help us, Lord, through Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord, we pray. Amen.